Well, what is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde live on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel on a Wednesday night. Got some Notre Dame football and recruiting topics to discuss. So really appreciate you guys joining us for this week's show. And that's whether you're live with us, you're watching the YouTube video back, or you're listening via podcast. Just really appreciate you guys for making us a part of your day. As always, hit the thumbs up. You guys know that. Smash that thumbs up button. Help support what we're doing here at Blue and Gold. Of course, subscribe to our channel for more content. And our offer for our audience is that $1 for 2 months deal when you use the promo code UND1. So if you are a new subscriber, you can use that deal, $1 for 2 months. Tim, how are you doing, my friend? What's new in your world, man?
Well, it's Notre Dame football, so it means something's new about every 8 hours, it feels like. So, all's good. I mean, seriously, we need to do like 12 of these a week, I feel like, just to get caught up. Even today, with all the craziness that's hitting, and it's nonstop. But it's fun. Here we are flying. February's hitting the corner. Just a couple little, food for thought things. The Senior Bowl's going on, which is awesome. Notre Dame guys are out there kicking butt after a couple days of practice. It's one of my favorite weeks as a coach. I love to tape it on NFL Network and watch it, back at either at night or the week later and see how it is, see how the Notre Dame guys do. So excited about that. Hell of a football weekend this past weekend, Mike. Holy moly, that was awesome. The playoff games, and it's going to, we're going to have a Notre Dame champion. So that's pretty cool to see a couple, no matter what happens, there's going to be a Notre Dame Super Bowl winner. So that's pretty cool. Other than that, Notre Dame football, never a day off. Here we are hitting February. Spring ball starts in, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? Yeah. It seems like you already got – I saw you announce the Blue and Gold game came out. I saw you talking about that the other day, I think, with Tyler. So,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the title of this video and podcast, we've got Riley Leonard injury update, the Chad Bowden rumors, final recruit rankings. We're actually going to start with something that just popped. I mean, maybe a half hour ago, Jeff Hafley, the Boston College head coach, is leaving to become the Packers defensive coordinator, which that is not really that notable from a Notre Dame perspective. Different topic for a different day is why he's leaving Boston College. And I think it's something that we can all understand. But again, you can look that up on your own time. But look, when Al Golden is out on the road recruiting for Notre Dame, where is he usually? He's seeing his top guys on that side of the ball. But when he is area recruiting, right, coaches, when they're on the road, they are seeing their guys. But like Dylan McCullough all week has been in Miami. He recruits South Florida for the Irish. Marty Biagi has been out in Hawaii this week. Al Golden goes to the Northeast. He's a Northeastern guy. So it could be interesting if Boston College targets him. Now, I remember John McNulty was Notre Dame's tight ends coach. He left to become Boston College offensive coordinator a couple years ago and didn't go so well. That is just a program, Tim, that since Matt Ryan's been gone, I mean, they haven't really done much of anything. It's like beating your head against the wall out there. So, don't know right now how possible it is that Al Golden would be in the mix for that job, if you'd be interested. But Tim, just wanted to get your initial thoughts before we dive into the show about just even the potential of that.
Oh, yeah, I think it's definitely there. I mean, Syracuse called him. I mean, that was out there. His name was out there with the Syracuse job. And obviously they went with the Georgia DB coach. He's definitely going to get a call because BC is one of those jobs where you got to find that meat and potatoes type of guy that's, needs to go coach, develop guys, have a program, because you're not loading up on the blue chip ratio, Mike, when it comes to Boston College recruiting. You're going to get your guys here and there. You got to recruit. It's hard to recruit nationally because, not a lot of people want to come to Boston and struggle to go 7-5. They've had some great teams. Obviously, we all know they had some great teams in the 90s and the early 2000s with Coughlin and, Brian is the head coach. You brought up Ryan at quarterback. They had a great period of time, and then it's just been a mixed bag, very average going from there. But, yeah, I damn well they're going to call it Golden because he's a Pennsylvania guy. He coached at Virginia, all these little, things that move in. Temple, he kicked butt at Temple. You know, that's what got him the Miami job and got him rolling. So, yeah, he's going to get called. I think we should fully expect that. If he doesn't, I'll be stunned. So, but, yeah, BC is a tough one, especially this day and age and name, image, likeness and the portal. Man, BC's got to be up there, one of those bottom 20 jobs. Like, do I really want to go to
– For P5?
Yeah, for Power 5, exactly. Of just – man, you're going to bang your head against the wall. You just are. But in the ACC, I mean, who the hell knows if the ACC is even around in 2 years? But I just feel like that's a tough, tough gig. And sometimes Mike, right? Everything's about getting paid, the job, you know, the prestige, so to speak. If you're a Power 5 head coach, if he goes there and he has 3 years of 7-5 and he proves he could win, or he busts out a 9-3, all of a sudden, does he get something else? You know?
Well, it might be more of a job for a younger guy to bust his chops at, you know, like I'm a USF grad. USF head coaches these days are either the retread hires or the young up and coming guy. Like, it's hard for USF these days to keep a head coach for a long time. Either not doing well enough getting canned, or you're doing well enough, it's time to move up. Is Boston College kind of in that mix now? So what I kind of alluded to, this was a quote from an ESPN source about Hafley leaving Boston College. He said, college coaching has become fundraising, NIL, and recruiting your own team and transfers. There's no time to coach football anymore. So he is going to the NFL. So, very interesting news. We'll see if Al Golden gets into the mix there. That's the news. Again, we will have to see on that. Go ahead.
Just 12 seconds on that. I mean, that's a perfect quote because that says everything there is. You know, when you got to re-recruit your room, heck, Georgia has lost one game in 3 years and they have 20 guys go to the portal. It's like, so he is right. It's a constant recruiting, knowing who's who. Heck, look at Notre Dame. They got, you know, Ruby all of a sudden, the spring semester starts with classes and he's taking the semester off to reevaluate things. So here you are thinking you got a stud, you know, top tier backup out there with Mills and Cross. And now you're like, well, we got to figure out the next plan. So yeah, it's a constant in the NFL. It's just football, do a little bit more football, hang out with the family.
Yeah, do hope that Rubio is able to return this spring, but you know, that is to be determined. We'll have to learn more about that in about 5-6 weeks or so when spring ball does start. So an update on Tuesday, obviously Riley Leonard injured his ankle against Notre Dame last year when he was the Duke quarterback. News broke yesterday that he had to have surgery on that ankle to kind of clean things up a little bit. So he is going to be out now. You know, I was told it's going to be all of winter workouts. And then, you know, we get some, you know, pushback where it's like, oh no, he's not going to miss all winter workouts. Okay. I'm sorry. He, you know, maybe he'll get to, you know, do some bicep curls. I don't know. The guy's in a boot cast, whatever it is. I don't know how much he's not really gonna be able to run around a whole lot. Not for a while, but the expectation, Tim, is that he should be ready to go by the start of spring ball. Now, is that 100%? Is that 75%? We don't know at this point. That's just something we're going to have to see, you know, knock on wood, hope the recovery goes well. But wanted your perspective on this, Tim. Is this something where for a one-year rental guy who just got here earlier this month that, you know, what really can you do, you know, throwing the football? Like, if he's not able to be around with his teammates to kind of build that camaraderie, again, as a new guy, do you think this could, you know, kind of put him back a little bit? Do you think this is a non-story, not a big deal? Is it somewhere in between, Tim? What's your take?
Yeah, so I'm definitely somewhere in between. There's no doubt about that, because obviously winter conditioning is when you're working your tail off, busting your butt, all those things. I mean, Hartman did it. Hartman showed up last year. All the reports were like, this guy's an unbelievable, you know, captain, a presence, you know, everyone loved being around him. Cone was the same way when he came from Wisconsin. So yeah, he's not going to be out there pushing the prowlers and tug of wars and all that stuff at 5:30 in the morning like everyone else is. But if it's day one of spring ball and it's March 22nd, let's just say they start. I have no idea, obviously, the date, just throwing a date out. But he's out there running around, running quarterback powers, slinging it. Who gives a damn, right? But what it really is, because right now these guys could do 7-on-7. They could go to the bubble. they could go to the indoor facility. I mean, there's tons of reports last year of them doing it with Hartman there, starting to build up that rapport with guys. So, you know darn well, Angeli, Minchie, Carr is now on campus. Hey, let's all round up and go. So it's just reps for them to build up some rapport, build up some, you know, some timing and all those things with all these wide, new wide receivers they have. And obviously the other guys returning, you got freshmen on campus, Cam Williams, obviously does he rise up. So yeah, when these guys aren't studying for calculus and, taking a history exam, they're in the football facility nonstop, getting ready for the season. So that's going to be the thing that Riley's going to miss out on is all those, types of fundamental drills. He can learn the thing, but he's not doing it with his buddies. So when they all get together on a Thursday at 5 o'clock, let's say, to go on 7.
So do you think this could impact his success at Notre Dame?
No, man, that's a tough. No, I mean, it's more of the, I look at it. I mean, when I first heard this news, I was more like, all right, these young guys could take it over. Right? I don't want to say take it over where, boom, they're him and Riley gets cut and he's in the portal in May. But it's an interesting thing because, as you said, he's a rental. He's here for 1 year and he's already on the shelf.
Yeah.
Hopefully he didn't fall down the stairs and get hurt and it's just the same injury as before. No. Right?
Yeah. Right. You know, it's cleaning it up. I think they might have. Saw something in a physical or
playing last year, so he was probably damaging the hell out of that thing the more he played on that thing,
I don't think it's like a situation where when you're signing a big free agency, you get to have him in the facility first and do a whole physical. I don't think that happens, even though college football transfer portal stuff kind of does feel like free agency at times. So my just thoughts from what you're picking up is two things. You tell me if I'm wrong. One, maybe kind of hinders what his ceiling could be at Notre Dame. Just how good he could be. Maybe that gets lowered a little bit. Maybe if it's just a hair because you're not growing right now as a player and with your team. And the other thing would be, you got like this guy on the screen here, Kenny Minchie, CJ Carr, Steve Angeli. And I think it's more so this guy, Angeli. I think this would kind of be an opportunity for him to, which I don't know. I'm with you. It's not like, you're the guy now, but it could make things more interesting if he just has a killer rest of the winter. I don't know, Tim. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because here's this guy who's got tons of talent coming from Duke, tremendous competitor. One heck of an athlete, no doubt about that. He's got great NFL skills. Coaches can work with guys now. There's new rules where they're allowed so many, hours a week. And I believe there's new rules of doing they could do film time, study. So, Den Brock, when they're not on the road recruiting, which they are, that's going to end here in the next
tomorrow. Days. Oh, today,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's right. The old school signing day is next week, correct?
Correct. Yeah, next Wednesday.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So they're all on the road and it's really, boom, hunker down. Let's start getting ready to rock and roll for spring football now as they prepare, because that's going to be coming up here in about 6 weeks when you look at it. So it's all those reps. He could take all the mental reps you want, but does Angeli go out there? Does Minchie, does CJ Carr as the freshman just start building up that rapport? So when spring ball starts, do they just have a little bit more momentum? Does Riley Leonard? I mean, we could say all we want. We could see there all we want. And I know I saw the tweet from, Rob Hunt, the athletic trainer, getting a little heated and things like that. And, I mean, you can say whatever. But is he 100%, Mike, on day one? Or is he 100% on day five? We don't know. And it's a bad, bad ankle injury that he had to have surgery to correct it. And you don't know what he's going to be like coming out of a boot, trying to run around and get and trying to sprint around home in from Duke and Riley Mills bull rushing up the gut. What's that going to be like?
Yeah. Yeah. And I still go back to the point, how difficult it is to bond and grow that connection with your guys when you're not in the trenches with them right now, because you are injured now. I don't know what the particulars are like. I don't know if he can, hobble around and still be with the guys. but not really with them because he's in that, you know, cast reboot, whatever it is right now. Whereas Angeli's been with them, you know, for, at least for the guys who didn't come in as transfers, they've been with them, you know, for, you know, he's going in his junior season. So it's fascinating. Now, how much of an impact will it actually have on the 2024 season? Guys, I don't know, but I still just think there's some kind of like opportunity for Angeli here. So, I just don't know what it is exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, make it sound like it's only big if that ankle injury just doesn't come back clean, and it's always something. I mean, who knows, right? Is there a bone or is there something down the road? We don't know. But if he comes back and, like I said originally, and he's slinging it, kicking butt, being the guy Freeman and company thought he was when they brought him, that's the reason why they brought him here, to be the starting quarterback in 2024, and he's having fine, boom. Missing 6 weeks of, you know, winter conditioning, 2 months, boom, that's water under the bridge. But it's just, it's the reps. It's the reps for those young guys. Because I said this, as you know, and you always laugh at me, but the most important battle is the number two. Because this, whoever wins it, unless they go to the portal again, right, Mike? I mean, who the hell knows? But the most, if somebody in this pack of three quarterbacks solidifies themselves as a true number two, as a true guy, like, we could hand you the ball. You could win us a game if Riley Leonard's out this week, or if he gets injured in the first quarter, we know you have us for the next three quarters, because that just booms into 2025. I whoever comes out number two and 24, I don't see Minchie or Carr if it's Angeli. Just throw Angeli out. So if Angeli's just, bam, I've been here 3 years, I'm holding these guys off, and I'm still kicking butt, I'm still doing it. Got the playbook, the arm, you know, the accuracy, all these things. I'm running the offense better than they are. I don't see how there's a competition in 24. You know, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why the number two is huge. If Kenny Minchie comes out in spring and kicks butt, well, then the odds of him being the starter next year are huge, huge, which means I don't see the other ones beating him out. If Paul's here as a freshman and he turns into Jimmy Clausen and just like, bam, I'm the dude and I'm awesome. Winner, 15 spring practices, and Freeman's like, holy crap, this is our guy.
Yeah.
This is our guy for the future. So that's why I think the number two
is
huge, because it sets the pattern for down the road.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, Tim, around this time last year, we were like, I think you guys, you and Goolsby were like, yeah, they're going to take another one. They're going to take another transfer portal quarterback. Next year, we're sitting here right now saying, no, they're not. Like, Notre Dame does not want to keep doing this.
There's no
never
reason.
Say never, but
there's no reason to, unless
the guys just stink.
They stink. Exactly. They're going in scrimmages. They're throwing picks, fumbling the ball. They just stink. And they're like, there's no way in hell we're doing this with these guys. Exactly. That's why right now this winter conditioning, because they could go out there and do 7-on-7s. They, you know, all these guys are working out, man. These guys want to win a title. They're not hanging out chilling, eating Doritos. They're out there working their tails off, getting ready to play. So these guys are in the big giant football facility working their tails off. So it is massive reps for those three young guys just to keep developing. So when spring starts, boom, you know, Riley Leonard's just starting to stretch his hamstrings. These other guys have been doing it for 2 months.
Yeah, a couple comments here. Carberry says, I just wonder if the team is sick of the one-and-done quarterback situation yet. The guys that have been there putting the blood, sweat, and tears together have for years may have a different outlook. I think that's kind of the Goolsby outlook, you know, as a former Notre Dame captain. I think that's something that he said. And then Jay Carr said, Leonard is from Alabama, not Alaska. And when Jay Carr said this about 10 minutes ago, I was like, what the heck are you talking about?
AK.
Notre Dame needs to update this. So Notre Dame, if you're watching, says Fairhope, Alaska on Riley Leonard for his roster page. So maybe let's get that fixed.
Yeah,
mistakes happen, but
exactly, a little edit. But, you know, going back to the whole little point is, I mean, we love talking quarterbacks, and Notre Dame has three quarterbacks to choose from for 2025. They have three quarterbacks, really. They're going to go through this. I don't care what anyone says, man. They're going through this winter. They're going through this spring. These guys train like hell in the summer, training camp. They are you know, yes, they're getting ready for 2024. We understand all that. But at the same time, they're like, who is our guy for 25? I think that's a big underlying part of this entire season with these quarterbacks. Yeah.
It is so fascinating, Tim, because we could go through all of the different scenarios.
Oh, man.
What if Angeli stays, right? And now he's going into his senior year, and he has two, and he has a senior year and a fifth year. Yep. He could be the guy for 2 years. Like, if he's just really coming into his own this in the 2024 year, and then what does that mean for like a Minchie and a car? Fascinating stuff. I'm fired up for it.
Minchie. I mean, if Kenny Minchie goes through spring and he's having a hell of a spring, and Freeman and company and Denbrock and Gino are like, hey, he's a heck of a quarterback. You know, he was one of the Elite 11 dudes. He won the pro day. We forget Elite 11. He's got unbelievable skills. He's developed. He's lost weight. He's getting his body right after having a little shoulder boo-boo last year. And he's the guy. Well, then, heck, Mike, now you can start, you know, Kenny Minchie for 3 years, which means what?
Well, we keep going. What if it's Carr? What if they just love Carr? And then it's like, then do you lose – the two guys older than him and Minchie and Angeli? Tim.
Well, then, hey.
I'm here for it, man.
Then you got Carr. You bring in Deuce as the backup. You go find yourself a portal guy to be, you know, on the bench, so to speak. Yeah, exactly. Now you're starting to get into that, you know. Oh, my God, just round robin. But I think the days of finding a Jack Cohn, Riley Leonard, a Sam Hartman,
gotta be over.
Exactly. Unless these three guys are just turds and boom, go have fun going somewhere else. But none of us expect that.
Tim, a fiery debate going on in the YouTube chat about the best Dorito flavor. Do you have one?
Man, they're Doritos. I'm not the ultimate spicy guy where your hands are neon for a week. You eat some of those. But dude, they're Doritos. I'll eat all the Doritos.
All right.
If I had to pick one, I'm just old school nacho cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the sweet, spicy chili is the obvious answer. It might be the best chip. I'm a salt and vinegar kettle cook guy, but if I can't get my hands on those, I'm going
salt and spicy vinegar. Sweet chili. We will not be sponsored by salt and vinegar. So how's that? Okay.
Yes, we will, Lays. Yes, we will. If you want to sponsor us, give me a call. But Taco Bell is my top choice. Tim, if you get a Taco Bell sponsorship.
Hey, Taco Bell is happening, Mike. We got
to listen. There's got to be some exec at Taco Bell who is a Notre Dame grad and watches this show. My boy Devi Cooks says salt and vinegar's top tier.
Oh, you're killing me.
Listen, but there's got to be. I'm looking into the camera now. Listen, you work at Taco Bell. You're a Notre Dame grad. You love the show. Maybe this show is not big enough for your portfolio, but come on. We got to get Notre Dame, you know, to have some Taco Bell love, you know. Like, come on. Sponsors Taco Bell.
Yeah, somebody in the chat during their breaks needs to go hunt down LinkedIn and find some Notre Dame connection through.
I'm serious, Tim. Tim, that's a great point.
Yes.
So for folks watching, and we're going to get back onto your regular scheduled program in a second, but I'm being dead ass serious here. You guys have my Twitter DMs. My email is mike.singer at on3.com. If someone can sleuth and find me a Taco Bell exec, someone at Taco Bell that's important that went to Notre Dame, just hit me up and I'll thank you somehow. I promise. Okay. We're going to move along. So there's some rumors that popped up on Tuesday. Actually, Tim, before we dive into those, we're going to hear from Augie's locker room. So, folks, if you are in South Bend, Indiana, you got to make sure you go to Augie's locker room. And it is, of course, a spot that you can find unique, one-of-a-kind Notre Dame items. And it's located at a new spot. It's 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend. It's right down the street from Notre Dame. Every single time, I feel like I go to this website and I read this ad once a week, you know, 52 times a year. There's always new stuff on here. So, I mean, I have not seen the Sam Hartman signed jersey, the Mayor signed cleat and Mayor signed jersey. Love that. Ben Morrison signed jersey. Always good stuff. Audric Estime signed gloves sold out. But I mean, Joe Alt signed cleat. I mean, this is stuff that you're not really getting anywhere else. And Augie, as a local business, is definitely someone you're going to want to support as well. So if you're in town or you're a local, you're driving through, whatever it is, you got to make time for Augie's Locker Room. Check out their wide selection of Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, one-of-a-kind Rockne items, and really everything in between. And again, folks, Augie gets new stuff in all the time. And if he doesn't have it in your store, you guys see Goolsby's new setup with his two jerseys behind him. I think Augie helped him get both of those. You guys have heard that story. So Augie's the guy to know when it comes to Notre Dame memorabilia. So make sure to give him a call, 574-277-6363. Visit Augie and his store, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend. See the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. It's got some amazing stuff you're going to want to see. It's augieslockerroom.com, 574-277-6363. Okay, so those rumors that popped up Tuesday, I don't even remember how it started. I feel like someone sleuthed out that the Michigan coach followed Chad Bowden on Instagram. I don't even know how you can do that, but that's a thing, I guess. And, you know, we start digging into it. And, yeah, I was told that Michigan was very much in pursuit. And this was, again, I just heard this yesterday, that Michigan's in pursuit of director of recruiting Chad Bowden, who was, you know, worked very, very closely with Freeman at Cincinnati, obviously, and Luke Fickell and those guys, and then came to Notre Dame to work basically running the defensive recruiting operation for Notre Dame when Freeman got here in 2021. And then when Freeman became head coach, Chad just kind of took over the, you know, the entire operation, you know, working closely with Dre Brown and some of those guys. Caleb Davis, by the way, who was in the recruiting office, he now runs the recruiting office at Troy with Jared Parker. And I'm working on a big story on that that I'm looking forward to, because Jared Parker and Troy, they've really been doing a good job on the recruiting trail. So I'm going to do a big story about that up at On Three here in a week or two. But side note, I am told that he's probably it's pretty unlikely that he's going to go to Michigan from what I'm hearing. I hope that Chad got a nice raise out of this. You know, hopefully he got a little salary bump. Because, you know, Tim, you were talking about something on the message board, so I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this. Like, you're old school, everyone's replaceable, I get it. But, you know, Tim, in my decade of doing this, he's kind of like a one of one. I mean, just think about the junior days of the past couple of years, the recruiting office was, you know, the CIA agents last year, they're dressed up as leprechauns this year now, you know, is that kind of corny stuff? Sure. But it just kind of goes to show that they are dedicated to this stuff. They're dressed up like, you know, they look like fools out there, you know, and I say that in a good way, you know, just to put on a good show for the recruits. So I think the proof is in the pudding too. Last point before I go to you, Tim, when recruits talk about, and again, I'm coming up on 11 years in this business, covered a lot of different schools, so it's not like I've just been covering Notre Dame my whole life. I've seen it all. I've covered West Coast. I've covered the Southeast, Midwest, South, you know, Southwest, everything in between. When a kid talks about, this is the coach of, like, why I'm committing, you don't often hear a recruiting office guy. You hear it with every single recruitment with Chad Bowden. So yeah, I think if that were to happen, if he did get another job, I think it would be awful for Notre Dame. Now, could Dre Brown step into that role or someone else? Sure. But to me, Chad Bowden's a one-of-one, pretty unique guy. I think he's done a tremendous job at Notre Dame, not only like building relationships, but also like scouting and, kind of just leading that department, obviously. And my role covering Notre Dame recruiting, you know, I got to track what that guy's doing all the time, just in terms of, you know, their offers, they're sending out, the visits, all that stuff, and hearing things behind the scenes. I just think he would have been pretty tough to replace. So again, I'm hearing he's saying at Notre Dame, you know, We'll see if something changes. Carberry says, Mike, you put up his number so everyone can call him and tell him to stay. Yeah, this is the Notre Dame website. I don't know if you call, you know, I'm guessing this is 574-631-7475. I don't know who that will go to, but I have a hard time believing that it's going to be Chad picking up on the other line. But anyways, Tim, I'll go to you.
Yeah, exactly. That is going to a voicemail.
Yeah.
And a student assistant who comes in at 2:45 every day is cleaning those up. But no, it's I mean, when this thing hit, it's like, whoa. It, you know, I'm one of those guys that looks at it from the other side, like, yeah, it makes sense. Michigan's like, we got a brand new coach. You know, let's, you know, the guys that we are recruiting against, they are recruiting a lot against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You and I have been talking about this for the last 2 years, every time someone's committing. I mean, it's probably my easily 70%, let's say, of Notre Dame's guys. Maybe not that high, but it sure seems like it has a Michigan offer. So they have really, really gone toe-to-toe with a lot of guys.
Not the opposite, though, I feel like. But I feel – well, I should say a lot of the guys – like if you go on Notre Dame's commit list, most of those guys will have Michigan offers.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Go to Michigan's commit list. Not a ton have Notre Dame offers.
But that's what I said. And you know, I was thinking, you know, because people are like, why would he leave? Well, it's pretty easy. I mean, you got a brand new coach as well who's gonna start up a whole new thing, and he's probably talking to Bowden saying, hey, we're winning with guys you don't offer. So that type of thing, you know, come check us out, those types of things. And then I read Sam Webb, who's the big Michigan insider for 247, doing that for 20 years. He had a nice little article. I read it, and
I didn't even know that. What he said?
Yeah. I mean, they offered him a general manager role to be the actual Michigan. I mean, whether that's true or not, who knows? It's Michigan guy, but it was online. I read it. Huh. A GM role. So Notre Dame doesn't have a general manager. General managers are the new fad, and you know, the new wave of jobs happening. Alabama just created one for the guy that was helped put Michigan together a few years ago, Courtney Morgan. He's at UW now at Alabama. So, you know, when you stay, new titles are created, correct? New monies formed, new roles, new titles. So maybe maybe Notre Dame's going to do something. Cause when, Reese left, you know, the dad Reese, Bill Reese left, everyone's freaking out about that. There's tons of rumors about a GM. But they hired a guy away from Arkansas who had been at Notre Dame, 10 years ago? And it was more just of a scouting role. So Freeman, you know, I think Freeman even like threw back to the media when all this came out, like, oh, we don't have a GM. Everyone's just got their little titles. But does one need to happen? And going back a long, big circle to Chad is he has done a hell of a job. There's no doubt about that. No one could deny that. So he has done an amazing job since he's come in. He's young, he's energetic, he's got a billion ideas, and he's got a head coach that's willing to listen to those and be a part of those. And that's why Notre Dame has really, really recruited at a high, high level the last few years. Sure, they're not 1, 2, or 3 in recruiting. They haven't been in a long time, but they are battling like hell for a lot of those guys. And they are, I mean, I talked about this a few weeks ago, Mike, they are literally one recruit away from having a top 5 class the last 3 years. They're that close. So they just keep building, keep chopping wood, so to speak. And he's doing a hell of a job. And for Michigan to see that and go after him is kudos to him. Really kudos to Marcus Freeman for how they have developed that recruiting thing. I mean, you talked about this when he got hired, how he was more of a hands-on guy with the defense, so to speak, right? You know, Brian Kelly was still the head coach, but Freeman's like, hey, I want this guy to come and help me. And it rolled from there. You know, Notre Dame did their job recruiting. Pullian and Elston started Pot of Gold years ago. You know, they have some of the years, but nothing like this.
No,
it's totally different now.
No, no. Pot of Gold was a Marcus Freeman thing. That's what they did at Cincinnati. Same with that whole billboard. The whole billboard thing. Do you remember the whole billboard initiative a few?
Oh, yeah.
All Marcus. That was all Cincinnati stuff.
They did do a Pot of Gold. They would send the recruits tons of stuff. On St. Patty's Day, Elston and Pullian did. I mean, you could go back and see the pictures of him doing that. It's not as designed as it is now. Yeah. The last few years.
Oh, it's a lot different.
Oh, no, completely. they tried it, they had ideas, but it always goes back to the head coach. I mean, your recruiting is only as good as the head coach. Why is Nick Saban so damn good? Because he's involved with everybody. Why was Urban Meyer killing people in recruiting? Because he's a relentless recruiter. Pete Carroll was the same way at USC. The guy was nuts. You know, I know Charlie Weiss had his faults, but he was on, I've talked about this. He's on the road every damn day, and he signed 3 straight top 5 classes because he just went out and recruited like crazy. So Freeman's done that with Bowden. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I know I said everyone's replaceable because me personally, and I'm saying that as a compliment to Chad, is the infrastructure's built. I think if he left to Michigan, let's say, the infrastructure's built, the plan, how they recruit, all those things to where, who's to say Freeman can't go out and poach someone? I mean, why can't he go out and steal someone away from Georgia, Alabama? He's got buddies in Columbus. Not saying that's going to happen, obviously. I think Chad staying would be huge just to keep that continuity going and keep the recruiting operation his, so to speak, as you know that. So it'd be a kick in the pants if he went to Ann Arbor. So the fact that you're saying more than likely he's going to stay is really good news in the long run for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah. So someone in the YouTube chat just said Brian Kelly 2014 looks like first pot of gold day. I mean, I just Googled
it. Yeah, I remember that.
And okay, so
here, big mailers where they would send boxes to guys filled with crap.
Letters. So we're talking letters. I mean, this is
social media, and it's completely changed from 2014.
Yeah, but what Notre Dame now is doing with Pot of Gold is they're offering 70 guys. Tim, that Pot of Gold day feels like signing day for me. Like, just how big of a day that is. They dominate their built-in holiday. It's a lot better than, you know, sending out letters.
Hold on. It's a great event, Mike, but they are signing minuscule of those guys on Pot of Gold Day. They're not loading up their classes with
Pot of Gold. I didn't say that. I'm just saying it. That's what it feels like on that day.
Oh, no. It's a great event for that day. Yep. Sending out offers, but just because they're sending out offers doesn't mean – we're getting these guys, you know what I mean? So,
I mean,
you're only getting single digits from the last few Pot of Gold.
Yeah. Games. If Kyle Kelly, if you're watching, he would probably know off the top of his head.
I have it documented.
The kids committed right now in 25, how many of them were Pot of Gold days last year offers? I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure he would. Back
22, 23. Yeah. I mean, I have it. Damn it, I should have brought that. I have a little notebook where I've kept tabs.
But again,
it's a cool event. It really is a cool event, you know. But when you send 10 offers to Alabama on Pot of Gold Day, what's the odds of you getting some of those guys? Pretty slim. And
yeah. They do offer a lot of guys from the South. Yeah. Why are you offering all these? A lot of guys in Alabama. You're right. A lot of Pot of Golds from Alabama and Louisiana. It's like not happening very often. So again,
it's a great event. It is a cool event, and they work their tails off.
Yeah. Maybe I should do this more, Tim, but I really don't read a whole lot of what others write. That was a big thing I learned from Lou's emoji, is like Lou just didn't really want outside things influencing his writing and his reporting. So I try, like, everything I write at Blue and Gold, all my reports, it pretty much is like just what I am hearing. I don't really, I mean, that's not all the time, because sometimes there is like things I might have to squash or address or, you know, things like that. But yeah, I posted on the board earlier today, I was like, yeah, I think Chad's staying. Like, I didn't know about, you know, what the Michigan guy had said. So
yeah. And I haven't read anything.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't
know. Or not, I have no idea. I just read that article, what he is reporting they offered him. And I was like, oh crap. Wow. This is man. I mean, they're really going all in on him, which says a lot to how they have recruited, you know, with Bowden and Freeman and his whole crew. You brought up Dre Brown. I mentioned that on a message board. For as much as Chad gets mentioned, you know, darn well, I mean, Brown's gets messaged all the time too. So it is a great team. And of course you don't want to break up a team, and they are a team. Those guys work really, really good together. They have a system. They have all those things going. So don't want to break it up. Freeman could keep him. get Swarbrick to give him a nice pay raise, a new title, whatever the heck it is. Yeah, do whatever you can to keep him because it has worked for three straight classes.
Yeah, Devin said, CJ May's a rarity. I forgot. As I'm, you know, crapping on Notre Dame recruiting in Bama, they are literally have one committed right now. But anyways.
A rarity. That is true. Yes, that is.
I want to, before we talk about rankings, Tim, this week I've kind of been in, I don't really give a damn mood. I'm just like, I will argue and pop off a little bit on social media. It's just kind of what I've been feeling this week.
Okay.
Oh God, rankings. Where to start?
Okay. Yeah, I've been seeing you talking about some of the stuff a little bit.
All right, so let's do this exercise right now, because I'm you know seeing a lot about how On3 just has no credibility and whatnot. So, you know, 2024 industry rankings. So this is, you know, the combination of Rivals, 24/7 ESPN, and On3.
Yes.
Notre Dame's at 10 right now. So what I'm going to do, you guys can't see this, but in the you know, the little search bar at the very top of Google, I'm removing industry and the dash from the hyperlink, okay? And now this is, there's no industry in the headline now. So this is just On3's rankings. No 24/7, no Rivals, no ESPN. Seven. Rivals ranks Notre Dame, I think, 9. 24/7 has them at 10. And ESPN has Notre Dame at 12. So On3, despite that ranking of CJ Carr, has Notre Dame as the number 7 school. So if you are, you know, one of those, you know, social media nincompoops who just yells On3 is stupid, then I guess, you know, talking about the rankings, I guess that you think that Notre Dame, you know, shouldn't have that high of a class. Listen, the CJ Carr thing, I get it. Me and you agree he should be ranked higher. Me and you agree, okay? We both think that he should be ranked higher. But the difference between me and guy who yells on Twitter about CJ Carr's On3 ranking, which is probably also the same guy who yells about Taylor Swift getting 25 seconds of airtime on a 3.5-hour broadcast. Like, I digress. Guys, it's not that big of a deal. It's really not. The great thing about it is in 3 or 4 years, we can sit back and we can say, damn, Charles Power, man, you really missed that one. Or you know what? The second option won't happen. No one's going to be like, damn, Charles Power nailed that one. Because that, you know, no one will want to talk about it. They'll just, you know, no, we don't talk about that. It'll be, or if we do, it'll be like, oh no, he was always wrong. It was Gino that screwed him up or who, you know, like that's where the conversation goes. So at the end of the day, guys, they're just rankings. You don't need to yell at people about it. Just go outside and breathe. Ant says nothing is bad as 24/7. Just, guys, they're just little data points. Just take them for what they are. We're going to have fun with it. And that's just it. You don't go and yell. Tim, I mean, some of the responses on Twitter this week have been something else. So, guys, We agree that CJ Carr, I mean, 231 in the country, number 16 quarterback. Well, it's crazy. Yeah. But people are like, Mike, make sense of the ranking. Here's what. On3 thinks that there's 15 better quarterbacks.
Yes.
That's what it is.
What it is.
And guess what? Oh, and this is the thing that really gets me, Tim. And then we're going to go into your segment. And please, Tim, I don't want to rebuttal because we just need to get past this.
No.
If you really want to talk about it. That thing is it's like as a, now I forget what I was about to say, but to wrap it up, like make it make sense, Mike. It's just they think there's better quarterbacks, and we'll get to find out later. I forgot what I was about to say.
All I want to say is 5 seconds is you posted something talking about number 7, and someone just responded, well, they're still not good. I'm just like,
yeah, like, you know, whatever. I guess you hate Notre Dame, you know.
Yeah, you can't win to win, but I mean, I love your point when you always see a data point. Someone's talking about Taylor Swift. Yeah, a lot of articles. I am not clicking on those, Mike. There are so many Taylor Swift articles. I'm like, I could care less.
Hey, man,
she's on TV.
I'm a big Swiftie. As I'm sitting right here, I'm sure there's something Taylor Swift around me. This is a friendship bracelet I got from the Taylor Swift concert in Tampa night two back in the spring. I knew there was something Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift. Big, you know, Travis Kelce, inject all of that into my veins. But anyways, I had another point, but I forget it. All right, I digress. If I haven't lost you yet, we're going to talk.
No. Let's take a few minutes and go on to this last little topic here.
So the last topic, let me pull up our show outline, Tim, was, okay, so now that all the 2024 player rankings are done, this is an interesting exercise. I don't know how I thought about this. Of any of these four websites, On3, 24/7, ESPN, Rivals, I love that the On3 commit page has this tool where you can see all of them. Yes. Which three are your favorite rankings? Which three do you feel like, man, this website nailed this ranking? And which three do you think just missed the mark? Tim, it can be all three. You hated the On3 rankings, and, you know, I have no idea what you're about to say. You just let it rip, man. What do you think?
Exactly. I was going to reach out to you. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep this. Let's just keep this here. So, no, this was a great little thing Mike had me do. He's like, hey, go figure out your guys. And I was like, all right. You're right. Okay. Click up top. They all break down. I went up and down trying to see what's what, trying to find that certain little three star. But I went with my first one is when you, and this is just film review. You watch the film, how Anthony Knapp is the only On3 has him in the top 100.
No, but Tim, On3 stupid. So how dare they?
I'm not even saying he's a top 100 or a top whatever. But he's the only one with a number. No one has a number.
All the other sites rank him as a three star. On3 has him as a top 100 player.
So
look at the position ranking.
So all the
five offensive guard.
I saw that, and it's like
50s and 60s.
To all the Notre Dame fans, just click on his senior film. It is violent. I mean, he's this year's Sullivan Apture to me. I love Sullivan Apture's film. The aggressiveness. And going back to Anthony Knapp is, by the way, we need to get him on the show. I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, he's already enrolled.
He is. Okay. That's right. So it'd be, oh, God, you're right.
But yeah, I can't get him on.
But I would just love to know that story because Joe Rudolph obviously loved him. Had him in camp, was his guy. As soon as he got hired, he offers him 24 hours. So, you know, he went to, you know, going back to Chad Bowden and Marcus Freeman, like, hey, I want this guy to watch his film. Boom, done deal. Comes up for a visit, commits. He is aggressive and violent as could be, and how no other services even notice this is just like, how? He's violent as hell. He's so damn aggressive. Outstanding footwork. Hand placement is probably the best out of the five guys that sign. He must have a heck of an offensive line coach just when you watch him and his fundamentals, you know, that he plays with. He's a lot of fun. You know, I know you've talked how the Notre Dame coaches see him as an interior guy, however that sets up. He could play tackle, you know, because he's got those long arms. I think that was one of the big positives. He's got those 34-inch arms that are long as could be. He could be a Zach Martin on the offensive tackle playing out there at 6'4", like Zach did, and then moving inside down the road. But he's definitely one of my top three of big plus by On3. My second one, Mike, and this I had no idea because I know we always talk about the quarterback. But how about ESPN, Mike, the polar opposite, ranking C.J. Carr right outside the five stars, 36, the number two pocket passer in the country. Number one is Raiola, and number three is Aaron Nolan going to Ohio State. They have C.J. Carr number two. So I found that interesting. Not that I'm agreeing with that, but a positive, like there's someone up there that put him way up there.
Oh, tip.
I thought that was interesting.
Where would you put him? Okay, let me say real quick, because someone said ESPN has Deuce Knight as the number one quarterback. I still think ESPN is in the Stone Ages of they have dual threat and pro style. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's like having all-purpose back and running back. It's dumb.
Yeah, but, I'm not a big ESPN click on – by the way, their recruiting page, they must spend 12 bucks a month on.
So I mean, where would you slot CJ?
I've always been a CJ Carr. I don't think he's 16. I don't think he's number one. I think a couple of those guys are dynamite on film. But I've always argued I can see where people have a top three or four. I get that. I've always thought he would be that 4 to 8 range, so to speak, you know, if you really want to look at it, you know. I think, is he, I mean, to me, if you're a five-star man, you blow up on film and you're just like, wow. I mean, we've seen some five-star quarterbacks. They're dynamic and all that. But or they could be Malachi Nelson, who goes from SC to Boise State, goes to the group of five. Who knows? But I've always thought he was a definitely a top five-ish type guy. So for me, I think he's very accurate. I think his pocket – I went back and just rewatched him in the last 2 days. And his pocket presence, the way he moves, he's like – he's got that little, you know, that – eyes behind the back of his head, so to speak. Remember your old favorite quarterback, Dan Marino. You used to talk about that all the time. Marino never got sacked in the NFL. Never got sacked because he always talked about that sixth sense as a quarterback. I see a lot of that with Carr. I think personally, CJ Carr is the best quarterback on the run out of all these guys when you're just breaking down their high school film and all that. So if he was the quarterback, I could see a bootleg, play action, rollout guy. I think he's very, very accurate on the run. So I think he's a top five quarterback. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks they've signed since Jimmy Clausen, when you look at just true high school quarterback.
All right. What's your third ranking you love?
Oh, I went with my favorite player in the class, Mike. I went with a five-star, Mr. Kingston Viliamu-Asa, number 19 in Rivals. How about that? I've been saying this – by the way, goes against what Tim Hyde just said. You know, you got Kingston, pot of gold guy. He signs, right? So there's that. Yeah. There's the Tim Hyde metric throwing right out. Yeah, he was a pot of gold guy. But you can throw that metric right out the window. So there's one of them right here. But so they've been recruiting this dude for 18 months. Once again, why do they have him? Al Washington recruited him as a freshman. He was the lead recruiter for Kingston as a freshman at Bosco when he was at Ohio State and just kept that going. So I love this guy. I saw him play live. The dude's a freak. I know Pete. I have some good friends that coach at some of the schools in the Moore League. That's Long Beach Poly. The Trinity League, excuse me. I got a buddy that coaches at Long Beach Poly. But unbelievable. Everyone loves him. He's a freak. He's really just a dude out there. He's not a trash talker and stuff. Like, he just plays ball. He's a ball. Yeah. And I saw Charles's article that you guys did with his quote about him from the, you know, the All-American game, of just like, man, he's like ready to play, shows up, yeah, and he's a ball player. And I really like what Charles said. And
yeah,
he's gotten his boost the last few months because he's one of those guys, he's at Bosco, and you're like, yeah, he's at Bosco, everyone's good.
Yeah.
But he's a dude, and I'm glad you got to see him live.
Yeah, I did. Like, physically, he's not like, and this going back to that article that I did do on with Charles about four of the Notre Dame recruits with their notable rankings. You know, he said like Kingston would be ranked higher, but you know, so much of their rankings, because they do determine ranking success based on where the guys actually get drafted. And so that's a traits business. So while he would agree that maybe like actual film, Kingston might be the best linebacker in the country, but like, he's not, like, he's a big dude that, you know, you think he's listed at Notre Dame by 6'3", 230, but just like the length, you know, the overall body type is not freakish, but the way I would see him read run plays and get to the back before the lineman, you know, can get out of his stance, you know, might be a little much, but like, the way he was reading things, it was like, he knew what the play was. It was really impressive. So yeah, Kingston's fantastic.
And that's what you see on, I know Mike Goolsbee talked about this as he's talked about Kingston in the past. That's what you see on film. His ability to read and just step and attack is just, I mean, someone just put it, he's heat-seeking missile. Exactly.
Yeah.
He just reads and just dives. He's unbelievable. And like I said, I've seen him play live. I've really
freshman year then? That'd have been his freshman year.
Freshman year back then, yeah. I have a really good friend at Servite who just says it's not even fair. He knows everything. He's so damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ant says, I'll never understand why rankings are based on where a kid will get drafted when these kids are getting to college football. So this is the thing. Like, I was in your boat too, and I did not understand it at all But then when I had someone explain it to me, it starts to make sense. Like the rankings guys, their whole job at, and this is On3, I can't speak to the other websites. Because when I was with Rivals, I didn't love the process. I respect the position of doing the rankings because it's obviously a thankless and impossible job, but you know, I respect the process at On3, even if I disagree with the rankings, because they take it so seriously. Like, how do you determine if a ranking was a success or not? And that's something I've talked about on our blue and gold message board. When people, you know, bring up that point and they say, well, awards or stats, I'm like, stats can be so inflated, or they cannot tell the story. Like, they don't always tell a story, or like awards. So you just want, like, you know, Mike Singers of the world saying who's the best, you know, like just journalists. But no, like the best players in college are the ones who get drafted the most. So that kind of does show you like who the best players are, because those are ones who get drafted the highest in the NFL. Now, are there outliers, and is that not perfect? Is that not a perfect system? No, it's not a perfect system, but I've yet to have anyone tell me a better system. And that's okay. So that's what I'm saying. It's, what is success in college football? Like, how do you determine your success in college football? The draft, like where you got drafted, like how good you are in college determines, you know, so that's what it is. So it's the only thing that's made sense to me when I've thought about it more and more. Where, so even if you don't agree with it, there's at least a system there. And I can't speak to 24/7 ESPN and what they do, but I was with Rivals for 9 years and I don't know what the hell they did. And most of those guys that do the rankings at Rivals, I think are doing other things now. They're not at Rivals. But I am telling you guys, I don't know what the hell they did. They had no system to my knowledge, but they do here. So at least there's something, you know what they're doing. So, but I digress, Tim. Let's go into your three that you didn't like. And I'm really interested to see if you throw in one that maybe the player is ranked too high for you. I'm really interested if you have one of those.
No, I did. No, I kind of stayed away from that. But I'll go right to your buddies down the street at Rivals. Is Bryce Young, Mike. Bryce Young, who is a five-star with 247. Which, by the way, for all the people who says Notre Dame can't recruit five-stars, they have three this year. They signed three. Kingston's with Rivals. Kirby Lambert's with On3. And Mr. Young, the great Bryant Young's son, is a 247. That's 3 5-stars. So however you want to grade him, it is pretty cool to see that. So, and that's a rarity at Notre Dame in the last 20 years. Only happened to two or three times, I believe. So it's pretty cool. Mike, top 100 with On3 and ESPN. 5-star with 247. 220 at Rivals. Did they not get the film? Because his film – whether you don't, you know, like you're saying, we don't think he's this or whatever, he's unbelievable. I mean, his film is freakish. His improvement, when he first got offered, I watched him and I was like, okay, I can see athleticism. He's like a raw tomato. He's got to lift weights and stuff like that. He's like Anthony Knapp. From their junior year to senior year, it's like, holy moly. Anthony Knapp was like, wow, to me. Young is the same way. Like, wow. You know, I know Mike Goolsbee played with I've talked about him before, Grant Irons, who was a big, big five-star middle backer, ended up being a DN during the Bob Davey years. He reminds me of just that type of big frame body. And Goolsbee, if he's listening, he knows what I'm talking about. Irons was huge, huge shoulders and length. I see Young being that type of guy on the strong side and down the road. So absolutely unbelievable athlete.
Tim, you working Friday afternoon?
What's that?
You working Friday?
I mean, I'm off. Yeah. But
we're having Cody Belair on our show Friday. Kyle's going to be in South Bend for media availability, so we're going to have Cody on at 1 p.m. Cody's an On3 national scout for
On3. Yeah,
he's fantastic. So if you want on, Tim, you have an open invitation to the show one if you're around. So that's going to be really fascinating. So we're going to talk about some of these things with Cody. Who?
He's great.
Yeah, he's.
He was on our big show with Ohio State show.
Yeah, he was on our mega show back in September, and you know he's had stops at Texas Tech, LSU, Baylor, I think another place too. So, you know, he's been a recruiting office and scout, you know, all that stuff. So, so we're going to have him on Friday at 1 p.m. So he's going to be great. But oh yeah, two others, Tim, you did not like their rankings.
How in the world is Kedren Young not a Rivals 300? Once again, did the film get lost? So I know On3 stinks for CJ Carr, but some of these other services, the film just, does the link not work? Wherever Rivals headquarters is, he's a top 100 on three. He's the highest, by the way, Mike. Top 130, ESPN 247. So he's basically a top 100 caliber when you're that high. He's in the pecking order. And Rivals just nowhere to be found, which I just found just puzzling. Like, what? I mean,
he was really good in San Antonio, man.
Oh, God. It's another one. It's like his film. The backs they already have in South Bend, it's like just flip coins, you know, just flip coins, you know, and run the ball. Yeah, yeah, estimate. Thanks. We got more guys coming. We'll be okay. Yeah, good thing you left Logan Diggs because you're not playing with these guys. I mean, it has just been awesome the last few years. And then my what in the world recruit, and this is who I feel, please pull up Mr. Carson Hobbs on the Notre Dame webpage. I know he's an early enrollee. Mike, he's been on our show. This is why I'm a big Catholic school guy, man. I love Catholic League. Cincinnati's awesome. Obviously, yeah. Trinity League, you know, the boys up in the, you know, Florida, the Tampa, all those big dogs that battle each other. Obviously, the DMV and the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, elite, elite football. Dude, he's the second lowest ranked recruit on every service.
Yeah.
Rezac's the lowest. Hobbs on all four services, the second lowest. So Mr. Cody, who's going to be on Mr. Belair, I would die. Because here's a guy that was all state. Unbelievable. He's been timed at, I think, a 10-5 in the 100, if I read right. Unbelievable athleticism. Length. One of Mickens's go-to guys. You know, maybe he committed 2 years too soon. He committed. He's like CJ Carr. It's like these guys committed ages ago.
Yeah.
And the forgotten man. Hobbs's film, his senior year, I love. I've never, ever understand. He's gotten zero movement from all the services. So there's got to be something. Obviously, the South has freaks. We all know that. Maybe everyone's just looking at every Florida and Alabama, Louisiana corner and just saying, oh, these guys are all better. But I love Hobbs. Benjamin Morrison was the lowest ranked 4-star on Notre Dame. He was a hair away from being a 3-star. He had fallen down the way. I think Hobbs, I love Carson Hobbs. I'm really excited to learn about him this coming spring and glad he's on campus right now. I was reading his profile. I saw it. It's already on the Notre Dame page, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So those are my three of just guys I just like. Some shocking ones. And if I have one honorable mention.
Going with four.
Is, no.
But he doesn't get there until the summer, though, I think.
He is? Oh, I saw this
thing. Pretty sure he's a summer guy.
Okay, I saw this thing on the official webpage already. Maybe they already just put him up after they signed. It could be. I was reading his bio and stuff like that. So, but my honorable mention is to On3 on Benny Powell. And I went and rewatched his film, Mike.
Yeah.
This dude is going to play. I mean, he's a guy that was ranked like 1,100 because, once again, we talked about this when he committed and when he got his offer. The two safeties behind him are Ohio State and Notre Dame. So he's playing Sam Backer. He's playing down in the box. His senior film, the way he – I love his stance, and I love his slow pedal. And his instincts out of his pedal on the break into the alley is really good. I'm watching him. I'm like, if he's not one of those long safeties playing deep, this is a dude that could be your next Rover. This is the guy that could be a JOK and be that long, lengthy, you know, 200-pound Rover, so to speak, out there. From what I saw, he's violent. He has no fear.
Yeah.
Really, really good skills, coverage skills. So, yeah. Honorable mention of one of my favorite recruits in the class.
Okay. All right. Well, that covers everything we're going to discuss. in today's show. I thought we were going to go 45 minutes. Here we are, over, you know, hitting the hour five here. So great show today. If you're just joining us live, you know, swipe and rewind, all that good stuff. Start over. Cause we talked about Riley Leonard. I mean, we talked about Al Golden, you know, and could Boston College look at him, kind of give our thoughts on that. The Chad Bowden to Michigan rumors we discussed. Then, of course, kind of ending here with some recruit rankings. So, yeah, that is going to do it for this show. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Go to blueandgold.com for much more Notre Dame football and recruiting coverage. If you're an Irish football junkie, and I know you are because you're tuning into this show, blueandgold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame football, so please do check it out. Again, appreciate you all for watching. He's Tim Hyde. I'm Mike Singer. We'll catch you next time.